Welcome to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast with Lawrence Lotz. Join Lawrence as he gets together with his friends from all over the world to discuss the latest trends, give some business insights, and add a little South African chaos into your lives. Don't forget to subscribe on Instagram at the Wolf of Queen Street and find us on all of your listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and much more. Hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street. Welcome back onto the YouTube video, or if you're on the audio podcast, thank you so much for coming to join us today. Firstly, to let you know, today's episode is brought to you by the Dark Heart Grooming Company. The company providing skincare for men, only using organic, natural, honest New Zealand native products. And you can find them on the Dark Heart Grooming Co. on Instagram. And when you place your next order, make sure you add Wolf10. And on your order to get 10% discount on your next order and any order after that. But thank you for joining us today. And today I'm joined by Yela Ruber. Robert, sorry, my apologies about that. The previous podcast, I struggled with Josh's last name as well. Interesting the last names as the last few people I've had. Yela, I got introduced to Yela just by contacting through Instagram over the last few months, as I've done with most people on my show. I started seeing what you're offering on Instagram, what you're talking about, and it really intrigued me to talk to you more and to find out more about you. You've come back from come in from a hospitality industry for 15 years, launching a company that went multinational over in Europe or across the world, and then it ended up being that you have sold that company, ended up now in New Zealand and transitioning into a place where you've launched a business called CEO Home and offering life coaching, mentorship, motivational coaching, as well as just yesterday, launching the website.
Yes.
Yes. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited to hear about that transition across your life, as well as what you're offering people today to be empowered and to achieve the greatest that they can. So thank you to come on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm originally from Amsterdam, from the Netherlands, and I moved to New Zealand about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you're right, I recently launched a new business called The CEO. And that business is kind of a reflection of my own personal journey. Yep. Where in Amsterdam about, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I started with the launch of a marketing and PR agency, yep. a storytelling agency specialized in the hospitality, meaning we represented exclusively hospitality brands, restaurants, mm-hmm. bars, food, basically anyone who fed me or got me drunk.
Yep.
That's who we worked for. And it was a great adventure because that business wasn't founded on a carefully laid out plan or mm-hmm. strategy. It was actually born out of a need.
Yep.
I was working before that in the hospitality industry as a
Just to let the listeners know, if you read on Yela's story about starting on the kitchen table 10 or 15 years ago, the kitchen table is the table we're actually sitting at right now that's been shipped from Europe to New Zealand.
Yes.
And it's quite surreal actually thinking about it when someone, since they launched their business, you know, look at all the big companies out in the world over 20 or 30 years, they launched in their garage, they launched it out in their workshop. We can say we're sitting at the table that it was launched, that business 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's come full circle. Mm-hmm. And I realize now as I'm sitting back at this very table, granted 18,000 kilometers away, and starting up a new company and being back in those early stages of the launch,
yep.
It brings me back to those early days. Although at that time I had one baby in a stroller and pushing the stroller with my foot whilst typing emails. But it was quite an adventure. And that business was born from a need, not necessarily from a plan or a dream to start
passion.
An agency.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the fact that I was working in that industry and I couldn't, there was no such thing as a niche agency at that time
yep.
in Amsterdam. And that is actually the very same foundation on which I'm now building the CEO.
Yeah, yep.
Because in my own personal journey with Typhoon Hospitality, I accidentally built a business. I started doing some projects on this kitchen table and it turned into a, like you said, multinational, multi-million dollar business with offices in Amsterdam, in Antwerp, Barcelona, in the Caribbean, and then here, and people all over the world, and a big team. And that did not go without falling flat on my face over and over again.
You're talking about from a failure point of view, or from a learnings, or from a struggle of running something that grew quite big from something you didn't expect?
I think all of the above.
All of the above?
And there was a lot of, I'm not necessarily a big fan of failures, because I think as long as you learn and grow from every experience, it's not a failure in my book. But there were definitely lots of mistakes and moments where I realized, that's clearly not the way to do it. I read somewhere the other day that they're not mistakes, they're mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're the mistakes you must make to grow.
And that's really nice. I really quite like that.
Yeah. That really resonated with me. So from that perspective, yes. So there was a lot of learnings. And especially what triggered me is that once I started talking about these situations happening, I heard from all these entrepreneurs around me, oh, yeah, such a common mistake. Yep. Oh, happened to me too. Oh, I know five people that also nearly went bankrupt. But it's not spoken about.
It's not. It's something we spoke about just before starting. I wanted to do a post earlier today on Instagram. Didn't get around to it, as most times you struggle with time, about fearing failure or failure itself, or you're doing something and you think it's only specifically to yourself, not realizing that every single person, no matter, even if you're the 1% in the world, the steps you've gone through, someone's gone through before you.
Absolutely.
And to think you're that unique, that you're the only one to go through it, would actually to go, that's a bit arrogant almost in some sense, right? To go, I'm so special. I'm the only person that's ever made this one mistake. And it's definitely a finding out, but it's a struggle sometimes to find that bounce board from other people to go, hey, that's normal.
Exactly.
And that experience is part of that journey.
And to actually learn not after the fact that it's normal and it's happened to everyone, but actually maybe even beforehand and skip a few of those mistakes and make your own. You'll still fall flat on your face. You'll still have mistakes. But I think our relationship to what you say, what you call failure, but I think even just pain in general, negative emotions, is quite warped. We try to, you know, stay away from it. We try to avoid it. We try to protect our children from it. Yet we all know that anything that we actually want as characteristics, or want to learn or want to grow into, whether it's resilience or kindness or compassion or business growth, the actual revenue or strategies or scaling, lies on the other end of that failure or of that mistake or of that pain. There is no, you need to have that, a little bit of that friction and just, falling face first in the mud.
Falling forward is, is the same way as no matter what you're doing or what you're achieving, is always to go forward in the situation. So if I stumble or if I do it, don't ever think that I'm falling backwards, because if I'm falling forward, you're learning from it. You're evolving from it to a better version. As I said earlier, we spoke about it, and the famous one is Thomas Edison, that failed 1,000 times, or he learned 1,000 times how not to make the light bulb, because it was just after the 1,000th time that the light bulb was made. Mental thought of making sure it's forward, evolving, taking what you've learned, and then doing something different, because they say the people, when you do the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, the first sign of, being a bit crazy, or,
yes, so, absolutely. So,
and we, unfortunately, we get the stage in the real world right now where people are keep on, I'm doing this on social media and business or in life, going, oh, I want to improve, let's say, health, for example. I'm going to go for a run. I'm running 10Ks. Not me. I'm too of a large of a mammal to run 10Ks. So I do 10Ks and do 10Ks and do 10Ks. And then you go, oh, but I'm not losing weight, for example, or something else. My body's not feeling well. But it's because you're doing the same thing, expecting different results. But it's taking it back and then going, okay, let's push it to somewhere where I'm not expecting it. Let me go do a gym session, or let me go do something else specifically for the health, and see that I might not succeed there, but it might give me the result that I wanted.
And I think it's mixing things up, and it's trying different things, and it's also consciously choosing to take the learnings and to take the gifts. And I have seen throughout all my lows and rock bottoms, and there have been plenty over the past years, both business-wise and in my personal life, as everyone has, right? Life is going to life. Yeah. Life's going to life, whatever you do. But having to go through these experiences and then not taking away all the learnings and gold and gifts that are actually in there means you've gone through it for nothing. Yep. Then it just sucked. And I think a big part of what I do is I say that I take people from success, from like it sucks, to success. And
you got the good one-liners. You got the good one-liners.
I'm a marketing girl. What can I say? I'm like me and the puns. But that's true, because otherwise it just sucks. It's just something shitty that happens. Mm. But if you can consciously choose to look for those gems and to look for those learnings and take them on board, all of a sudden it's fuel that will propel you forward.
So taking it a little bit back is obviously we spoke about the marketing agency, the hospitality industry you're running. That as you've moved away from that, you've sold that business, and now you're obviously full-time into CEO, offering the services, what you'll go big or go home.
Yes.
Right?
Or actually go big and go home.
Sorry, go big and go home. My apologies around that one. And fundamentally, there's dedicated products you're offering for one-on-one as well as in the group, sort of a mastermind programs around that. Take us through the go big and go home offerings that you providing out to the market, and what you believe makes the strength of it. Because I remember I was reading it on the website today, and the quote won't be right from your words where it's on there, but it's pretty much is you're saying allow people to want to be successful, but not forgetting they have a life, right? And I know you would have the right wording on that, but it's pretty much going, don't feel judged that I want to be successful and I want to make money and I want to be the top. But fundamentally, if you're achieving that, don't forget that you have a life and you have a family, and you've got to fit those two into a model. Because I know from yourself, that's where you got found wanting at a stage through your hospitality business, that you chase the success, chase the money, for example, and then you found yourself wanting in life.
Right. That's absolutely correct. And I think so many of us find ourselves kind of torn between those two things because they are projected, they are being kind of fed to us as being mutually exclusive. Yep. We even talk about things like work-life balance, which to me makes zero sense, because it's just your life and work and being of service and creating something is an essential part of that, but it's not outside of your life. Yep. That's it. You have the one life. Let's make something of it. So go big and go home for me represents those two sides of the spectrum, and that together make for a sense of fulfillment and happiness and a life that is really successful. Yep. Because the definition of success as a society kind of have boxed it in and have defined it is very fragmented. It's very broken. Because
correct. Totally agree with that.
When we talk about someone who's very successful, like you mentioned before, we immediately go to their finances, their career, status, power maybe, influence, but it really leans towards that. It's all towards money and work and
it's everything that's driven from, you know, modern status symbol in the sense of success, right? So there's no one would ever say someone is successful if a guy's happy and he's got a happy family and sitting at home and he's doing a basic job. Fundamentally, we don't see it as that as a success, and that's a bit of a challenge and a problem in modern times we have today of everything's pushing one way. We've got to make sure, like what you're trying to achieve is achieve equilibrium between both and having a across the board level of success and happiness as well.
And I love that word equilibrium, because I struggle with balance, because I think it's not a thing. The minute you find balance, it's gone again. It's like a constant juggling act, and it's like a circus show. And that's exactly it. And because we are kind of geared towards that one side, that one definition of success, we automatically chase that, or a lot of people do, because mm-hmm. we feel that pressure, either whether it's internal or coming from society, we feel this pressure to be successful. And what you see is a very skewed spectrum where the people that actually manage to do that, the rates of mental health issues Correct. And anxiety and depression and even suicide amongst entrepreneurs and founders and business owners Yep. is surging. Yep. It is scary to see that. And that is simply because we are molded to chasing this one thing that does not, I don't care how ambitious you are, Yep. I don't care how much you like your work, does not provide that sense of fulfillment.
Yep, correct.
So a lot of people get to that point where they
believe they're supposed to be.
Yeah, they have it all.
Yeah. It's like the famous old saying, beware what you wish for.
You may just get it.
You may just get it, but it also once you get it, it might not be what you actually wanted.
Exactly.
So, right? So everyone's yeah. chasing and I have an understanding of that's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. And they've got such a big vision on that one target. They miss everything towards that target. And once they get that target, they don't understand what to do next.
Exactly.
Or how to evolve from that space as well. And that's definitely, from what you're saying at the moment, is the challenge we see
yes.
in the open space.
And it's something that I live through. And it is not just about shifting or actually shattering that current paradigm around success. It is then about defining and designing your own version of that.
Yep.
Because your success...
Per individual, correct.
Exactly. Your mm-hmm. success is very different from mine
totally.
Than it is from the next guy.
Correct.
And finally, which is essential in this, is having the balls, because it is scary, to actually align your actions to that model you've created. And that's scary because, like you said, mm-hmm. the external validation, the applause, dies down when you start placing equal importance on your health, your
Correct.
Relationships, your family. And so you can have this full picture of like, what does success look like for me when I look at my relationships, mm-hmm. when I look at my physical health, when I look at my mental health, all of these things. And with that, your whole vocabulary changes. Because take productivity, for example. Mm-hmm. Before I started creating this success blueprint, which is what I kind of use as the foundation for my work, whenever I would spend the evening on the phone with a friend or mm-hmm. family, I'd feel guilty.
Yeah.
And yes, that's, I think, also a female thing. And it's also an entrepreneurial thing
yeah.
where you're like, you're always on.
Yep.
You're always
you
on.
Working, you
should
be
working.
Achieving something, right?
You should be doing. What have you done?
Yep.
Like Beyonce's already made, I don't know how many millions before 10 a.m.
Yes.
What have you done? And so there was always, even when I did prioritize the other aspects of me that are not more important, they're just also important.
Yep.
There was always this guilt and this feeling of, I should.
Mm-hmm.
And when you define productivity or when you define success for yourself as in like deepening and strengthening your mm-hmm. personal relationship and you have these calls or you go for that run or that mm-hmm. walk on the beach or even you take a nap,
yeah.
whatever it is that if you are working towards your version of success, that all of a sudden is a very productive way to spend
Correct,
your
because you're achieving targets, right?
Exactly.
If you have an understanding of achieving targets and mentally it's a win, right? And building up those wins, then
yes.
it becomes habit, becomes contagious, and then you go down the path as well.
Yes, and it compounds and you build it up. But you need to be really strong in your decision and very committed to that
mm-hmm.
decision because all that external validation will die down. So you need to know why you are doing this.
Correct. We spoke about it actually the other day. I met up with yourself, Yala, about a week or so ago,
yeah.
met up for coffee. And if anyone was watching my Instagram, I did a post after the meeting, but I also did a video, I think it was the next day. And if anyone had seen it, is listening now or watching, it was talking about the mission statement.
Because
mm-hmm. the first thing at Yala, after we had spoken for about 20 minutes or 25 minutes, you said to me, Lawrence, what is your mission statement? What is your understanding of a mission statement? I had to have a think because I knew I had one, which I did, as I said in my post. I had to think back what it actually was. And we discussed what my mission statement was. And Yala then challenged me correctly that my mission statement was a correct mission statement, but it didn't 100% represent me right now.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It represented where my evolution wanted to go, or where I wanted to be 6 months or 12 months down the path.
Yes.
You know, and what we're talking about now is understanding your level of success is also someone understanding their mission statement, which then gives you clarity of what you're trying to achieve.
Yes.
But then also you might get the situation like I have at the moment of, I have what my mission statement is, but now I need to move towards it and figure out what the missing gaps are that I can honestly say, this is my statement. Mm-hmm. Or a question I asked in the video actually was, do you go that way? Or is there a certain percentage of people that go, no, I'm going to change my statement for my current situation. And when I get further down the path, I might then rechange it again. So there's an interesting way I saw it.
Yes. And I personally believe in your way.
Yep.
I believe in getting really clear on where you want to go, mm-hmm. not necessarily on how you're going to get there.
Yep.
Don't be attached to how, because there is so much more room for miracles to happen
mm-hmm.
when you leave some spaciousness in how you're going to get there. But once you get that point on the horizon, whether that's 6 months out, 12
mm-hmm.
months out, 20 years out, you can then, like you said, start bridging that gap.
Yep.
And I am at heart an entrepreneur and a business builder.
Yep.
So I like strategies and systems and templates. So when I work with this DNA blueprint, it's not just some woo-woo picture
yep.
of sitting down and thinking, well, you know, 5 years from now, this is where I'll be, or this is what success feels like. We do that too.
Yeah.
We do the woo-woo part. And then...
In Bali?
Yes, please.
Just as a side note, that was the breakthrough moment of spiritual well-being was when Yela went to, but before the last 12, this was years ago, before everyone in the world currently that's going to Bali, but it was years and years ago, found your inner enlightened being, as you would say, and became a bit more of a 60s happy internal
tree
being.
Tree hugger,
as she says. But you openly admit going, I didn't want to become a tree hugger, and I became a tree hugger. But understanding again the importance of, you know, inner
right.
self.
Right. I mean, I'm such a cliche. It's so eat, pray, love. But it really worked. And for me, it was so far off the spectrum for me, because I lived on adrenaline and caffeine and,
yep.
and anything. And I was not at all
expecting it.
Not at all. But it was a really good stepping stone for me to start kind of diving into that, let's say, softer side, that more spiritual side. However, having explored that and still learning so much on a daily basis, for me, my
mm-hmm.
spirituality and my woo-woo and my kind of big vision
yep.
needs to be grounded in practicality and in pragmatism
mm-hmm.
and in, you know, measurable, tangible
cool.
goals. So we start from that vision,
yep.
that
the
12-month out, the,
yep.
the big, fluffy, beautiful
the
dream.
The vision board that everyone builds on the 1st of January.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
And then forgets about.
Yeah, forgets about, and the dust collects and everything, right?
Exactly. And to make sure that does not happen,
yep.
that is then translated in, okay, what does that look like? What does
mm-hmm.
that vision look like in every kind of pillar of your success
yep.
blueprint? And then what are you doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis
yep.
to actually get there?
Achieve it.
To achieve it. And I think the combination of that, and that's what the CEO is all about.
Yep.
It's the CEO, the practical,
mm-hmm.
strategic side of it. And the ohm,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and that's the CEO again
yep.
with the words, but that is, it is that duality and the amazing things that can happen if you can combine the two.
Yep.
If you can have that trust and surrender and that bigger vision,
mm-hmm.
but grounded with aligned actions.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, everyone, we all go through it in the moments, and we always need that support and understanding from both sides of it. We just can't, you can't survive on one side of a spectrum. It's just, you will stay there for a certain period of time, wherever you are, male, female, we are in the business, doesn't matter how big or small, but fundamentally, you're always naturally going to get pulled back. And if you don't get pulled back, it's going to snap back.
Right.
And then it's going to snap to the other side, and then there's going to be no control around that.
Yes.
So,
been there, done that,
yeah.
gone the
and
t-shirt.
And unfortunately, it takes that moment to understand what we should be doing. It takes
yes.
the break, the dark, the oh shit, I'm in a fucked up situation, or yeah. I'm all the way this way, things are disappearing, I'm losing control of business or life or in general, faster than go, okay, we've got to then be able to give both ways.
True. And I hope and believe that it doesn't have to be that extreme for everyone, which is why I created these programs.
Totally. I 150% agree with that. And it's a lot of things that I talk to people at the moment as well, is in the sense that I've obviously had my moment. I've had my whole stuff through this year, which I haven't spoken too much about. But I'm trying to tell people, you don't need that light bulb moment. Or look, you don't need the light bulb moment of, I fucked up. You don't need that bottom of the barrel moment right now to realize what you've got in life and how much you can take control of and how much is actually important for you to build up. Because you, everyone that's had that moment is building up and they're achieving everything they want to achieve.
Yes.
But they can achieve, you can still achieve it without that moment.
Yes.
You can just take the tools like what you provide in, the insights like you provide in and everything else mm-hmm. and just start it and just go to yourself going, oh, I had that moment yesterday, which I didn't have, and now I'm living, you know, and having right. a fake light bulb moment, right?
Yes, and I think people will still have their own moments. Yep. Everyone will have that in their own way. It's just not having to necessarily in this realm, in this world, go through that those yep. same motions. Just as I'm learning from different coaches and different teachers mm-hmm. stuff that I'm sure I could have learned the hard way, but I'm choosing to learn from experience.
Yep.
And the funny thing is about what you were saying, you know, it's not, you go one way on the spectrum and it snaps back the other way. Mm-hmm. So this was me a few years ago. I was a complete workaholic. I was trapped in this, what I used to say, beautiful golden cage that was my business,
yep.
completely disconnected from myself, but also from my family. And it took me going to Bali and ending up with emergency surgery in a hospital. And I remember I woke up in the morning in the hospital, still all groggy. And the first thing I started doing was texting the minutes, like the notes for the agenda for the meeting, for my Monday morning meeting, to my team. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to be in, but these are the notes. And then I went home. I think I was released the next day, and I had to go in and I had to go fire someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. It was like, I can't believe I was a terrible person. It was someone had to be done that day, otherwise the contract would renew. There was all these reasons that I thought were really valid for me to go into the office, basically still bleeding and still high, sit across the table from this man and end his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this kind of out-of-body experience where I looked down at the absurdity and how ridiculous that situation was. And I think that was the first moment where I'm like, maybe I need to change a thing or two. Just a thing, a tiny thing or two. But we look at that one spectrum, and we talk about that, right? How we chase the success and we build these businesses and we are what I call unapologetically ambitious. And in the pursuit of that, many people, like myself, lose sight of the uncompromising quality of life, the go-home side. But the same pendulum swings the other way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the people I work with are either in that box, the Yaelas 5 years ago, that are, they've got it all. They've made it. They've done it. They've chased the dream. They're there. And now they're like, there's something wrong, something missing, something not right. I just don't know how to break free or how to integrate that in a tangible and grounded way. Because these are often also not the people that are going to, you know, sit hours in meditation and hug trees. But the other end of the spectrum is just as valid. It is the people that are already in the go-home side of it. So they have this grand vision. They know what they want. They know what they want to create, or they're already doing it, but are struggling to go big.
Yep.
They're struggling to monetize. They're struggling to scale in a way that is sustainable. They are struggling to actually bring a vision to life and turn it into an actual business.
Yep.
Instead, what I see a lot, and a lot of people I work with are, you know, what is called solopreneurs.
Yep.
They're by themselves, and basically they're their own worst paid employee.
Correct.
They are stuck in a hamster wheel, started because they had this dream and something they were good at and something they loved doing, realizing now that 95% of their time is spent doing anything but what they actually want and what actually lights them up, and unable to break through that first barrier. And that's also where a lot of starting businesses fail. So that's the go big side.
Do you also see it from your customers or the people you're helping as well? As, and I think it's something we see, I see commonly with people I talk about at the moment, is the unwillingness of, if they're a solo entrepreneur, as you said, or solo entrepreneur, is the willingness to actually not give away and not show the secrets, but they always hold back and going, okay, I want to do everything because if I go and get help or I outsource some of my portion of my work of what I'm trying to launch, I might be giving away some of my brand, or I might be giving away what I'm trying to develop or what I'm trying to put out in the market. Someone might get a sniff of it and launch their own product to compete or their own business. Do you see that in some places?
I think there's that. There's the fear of things being stolen or taken, and my answer to that is simple. Yes, people will do that. Yep. People are assholes. I'm sorry. But they're not you. And no one can bring that same magic to the table. And I think in the end, none of us are originals. Mm-hmm. What I'm teaching, what I'm supporting people with is not something that no one else in the world is doing. I just do it in my way, and that either resonates with you or it doesn't. And that's what it's about. So that is the same advice as I give them. What I do see, though, is that often they are in a kind of space of lack because they are, you know, just kind of spread so thin that, and it's actually the thing that I also learned the hard way. It's, and it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. You have to spend money to make money.
Yes.
And they often feel resistance and hesitance and scared. Often money is a funny thing, to actually spend money and invest it in that help, in that support, in those experts. But in the end, they're not paying themselves, and they're working sometimes, you know, 18, 20 hour days.
Correct.
And not realizing their greatest resource, their greatest value, much more valuable than money, is their time and their energy. And they're just leaking that out left, right, and center in order to kind of keep that money in. And I mean, we saw each other at an event that talked a lot about investing in yourself and investing in your business. And it was a very scary thing for me to hire my first employee, like not as a freelancer, but my first employee on a contract. Yep. Whew, my God, that felt so scary. I think by the time I sold, I had 35 full-timers on the payroll. And still, I would look at my monthlies and I'm like, my gosh.
It is a scary fact. I've spoken to someone a few years ago in the real estate industry, all things. Obviously, in Auckland, New Zealand, a few years ago, it was quite crazy. And speaking to the person at that stage, they said, look here, I'm making, you know, making a lot of money and everything else. And, you know, this is how much I'm making and blah, 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 and so forth. But I said, do you have an understanding of how much you're actually making, for example, per hour? Right? Because yes, you're making X amount of money, which is a big amount of money, but you're also doing 60 or 80 hours a week, right? So fundamentally, you think mentally, I'm doing really good financially in that situation. But when you take it down to a normal person doing a 40-hour week, you know, your hourly rate and coming down, like you said, with the people having to outsource the work because they're not paying themselves, or they're doing 30 hours for one contract because they don't want to pay someone out there in the open market for 10 hours of their time. When you work out at what they're returning on that 30 hours of work, it's next to nothing, right?
It
puts him down on such a low scale. So that's one thing I make sure, always have an understanding on when it's in business or if there's something going on or trying to achieve an income from something or growth of income or hiring, understand what that, whether it's a 5-minute block or an hour block or 2-hour block, understand what that actual impact is. So I can look at it going, it's worth me to pay an hour and hire someone at twice what I'll pay myself, because I'd get 3 hours saved up, which, you know, and then therefore can be on-sold or so forth as well. Content creation, I mean, just at the podcast situation, the amount of hours I spend producing content, editing everything we do year to date, it's definitely coming down to the path where myself has to make the call and go, I need a team. It's better for me to hire a team for them to do it, and I can focus on having conversations or building the relationships and the networks and so forth. And it's definitely, like you said, is they focus on too much and not willing to give to get someone right. in and help.
And that's not even taking into account how much longer it takes you mm-hmm. or me or them
if they're not skilled
to do something that is not in your zone of genius or excellence.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just even the hours, it's the all the extra hours you put in trying to edit when you're not an editor.
Yep.
And I'm a big believer that you need to understand every part of your business.
Sure.
I nearly went bankrupt with my agency a few years ago. And one of the greatest learnings from that whole experience was understanding each and every part, because mm-hmm. there's no way you can outsource, there's nowhere you can train or onboard mm-hmm. anyone properly if you don't understand the steps and yep. what goes into it. But there's a difference between understanding the steps that go into it and actually being great at it.
Yep.
So it's such a powerful tool to actually look at, you know, you have your zone of genius,
mm-hmm.
your zone of excellence, your zone of competence, and your zone of incompetence.
Yep.
And as I go about launching this business, I don't start with a giant team. I mean, I'm launching a new business, but I'm starting to group what I do, the tasks on a daily basis, yep. in those four boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the zone of incompetence is the first one that needs to go, because I suck at it.
Yep.
It's my zone of incompetence. I'm not good. I can't do it. This is the first thing. Like, it's not even an option.
Yep.
I need to outsource that.
So sorry to interrupt you. To anyone that's listening at the moment, for people that are out there on Facebook or Instagram, from the people watching YouTube, and I see it all the time. I see it in all the groups I'm on. When you keep asking about the technologies or how to do things social media wise and business wise, if it's in that block, as Yale is saying, in the incompetence, you're naturally not necessarily going to pick up that skill in a one day or asking someone to give you the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
If you fundamentally want to grow your business, you want to go on that path, rather ask the question of, is this someone that is skilled, or as you said, they are highly skilled in that area, and rather bring that person onto your business or what you're trying to achieve than you spending those 10 hours to try and figure out an option.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you kind of move through those quadrants
yeah.
As you go, and as the cash flow and the business actually grows sure. and increases. And besides not spending all this time trying to figure out something you're not good at, having your energy drained because you're doing something that doesn't feel life-giving mm-hmm. and doesn't light you up, because yep. it's like, ugh, I have to do this. Imagine if you spent those hours at actual either like strategy or mm-hmm. revenue generating parts of your business.
Correct.
And often a lot of entrepreneurs, and especially in that little bubble that I work with, that struggle moving from that either idea to business phase mm-hmm. or solopreneur to structural business growth and scaling phase, what they often struggle with is, I lost my point halfway through, is something fantastic, and I will get back to you when it comes back to me. I'm like,
that happens. Don't worry. I sometimes get down a track and I have to come back and pivot myself to get into there. But that's fine. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting space to be at the moment with what we're trying to achieve and what everyone's trying to achieve and how fast we're trying to achieve things. And to people that have listened to every episode of the podcast, if there is anyone that has listened to every episode of the podcast, I say thank you to. But I say, most common, I said over and over and over, is we've got to give time.
Yeah.
You've got to be patient. You've got to give time. You've got to know what you're, like we said, you've got to understand where you're moving towards it and put in the steps to achieve that target, and then celebrating those targets as we achieve it over 6 month, 12 month, 18 month period, and then pivoting when we're required to pivot to try and achieve those goals as well.
Yeah.
So we spoke about in the beginning, you have the two programs, Go Big and Go Home. You know, there's the left-hand side, the right-hand side, depends which way your pendulum swings as well. Within that, as I said in the very beginning, there is sort of one-on-one coaching that you provide on that, but there's also group-based coaching on that. Is where would, you know, again, this is how long is a piece of string question, but fundamentally is, would you have people come through the group first to find, you know, if they best suits in the group situation, then go to the one-on-one, or would you pivot them through the one-on-one and then push them into the group? What's your sort of transition, or is it depending on the person coming in?
I think it's I think that's more of an either or. Yep. What suits your needs, what suits your time and your particular learning style and working style. So I've worked myself with a lot of different coaches, some one-on-one, some in a group, and I've always kind of thought that the group was kind of a inferior option to the one-on-one, because the one-on-one you get FaceTime with someone and they really dive deep and have eyes on your business and they know you. However, what I've learned in good group programs, the collective genius and the tribe, because that's also, especially in this age of online businesses, it can get really lonely.
Yep.
And even when you're not in an online business, we were talking before about how people don't really share, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, just the good, shiny, Instagram filtered version of it. So to have a group that's kind of going through those same motions all over the world, but still connect and still get their perspectives and their market insights and their experiences can be quite enriching. However, that is a little bit more restricted. It's a group program, so you either need to be on the call or watch the replay. Yep. It's less flexible. So depending on your lifestyle, I find that a lot of the people that do the one-on-one are leaning towards the go home. They are the really busy entrepreneurs that don't really have the flexibility yet to fit in a group program and need a coach one-on-one to work around their schedule. But it's a very different approach, and you get different things from both approaches. And then the third option that we offer, not too often, but it's the B2B. So it's the CEO for what we call brave businesses, because it does take it's not easy to come up with that level of honesty and radical responsibility towards yourself and your business. And in the B2B course or project, that's actually more of a consulting situation where we go in, speak to or sit, work one-on-one with a CEO or the owner, then actually not just have their personal success blueprint, but align that with the company goals. Yep. Because the company goals are often, again, all finance, growth, hardcore numbers, but that's not what makes a company healthy.
Correct.
So looking at the company goals as a whole, looking at the culture, looking at all of the aspects, and then working with the senior management team to actually align their way of working with that joint company goal.
And to evolve it, obviously, to achieve the final outcome of a more balanced, successful company.
Successful in every way of the word. And that's also financially, that's also, you know, really moving the needle and changing that bottom line. And I've experienced that myself as I started my own, let's say, personal development journey and changing my values and changing where I place my importance. I started feeling more and more disconnected from my business and from my team, not because they were a bad team, they're amazing, but because I was changing, but I wasn't changing my company and my and the people around it along with it. And it can become very lonely, and you can feel very disconnected and look at your team and think, do they even care? Are they even here on the same page? So that's what the B2B for Business is all about.
No, that sounds awesome. And I think you've offered so much insight into your understanding of how you're delivering these offers to anyone that's listening out there that wants to sign up to the Go Big and Go Home, to either or both, or to the B2B as well, as you spoke about. And just as we're coming up, as I always say, we think it's going to be a short podcast. We're 45 minutes in already and it's gone like in a blink. Before we end it off today, what do you want to leave our listeners with today? What's sort of putting you on the spot? One point or 2 points of something for them to think about over the next couple of days or next couple of weeks that you want to leave them with or challenge them with?
I think what's really alive for me right now and most days, to be honest, is that it's time to really let go of that idea that it's either or. You're either successful in business or you have a great personal life. We do really, I believe that from the bottom of my heart, get to have it all. We get to be unapologetically ambitious and also uncompromising in our quality of life.
That was the statement I was waiting for earlier.
That's it.
There's the statement.
And I believe we get to have that all and not have a work-life balance, mm-hmm. but just create an amazing life,
yep.
in which work has a really important and powerful role. And I think it's time for people that to realize that it's their responsibility to create it, because we mentioned earlier the societal norms of success and all of that is very fragmented. It's very focused towards one thing. So if you want to actually change and level up and have that richness and fullness in your life, in every aspect of your life, it's time to take radical responsibility for that and step up and choose that, because we really do get to design the life we want. Shit will happen. It will. I'm sorry. It won't always go according to plan, but we do get to be conscious. And a really short side note, but I ran a poll on my Instagram the other day, mm-hmm. and it's about writing down goals,
yep.
where I write goals down for my business, mm-hmm. and for my personal development. And I asked how many of you write your personal goals down as well, and how many just for business. And it was so interesting to see that the majority only writes their business goals down, yep. which shows it's a perfect reflection of the way we look at,
yep, at
work
life.
And at life and success. And I think it's such a powerful choice we have to choose to actually build the life,
mm-hmm.
all around that we want. So if you're going to do anything for yourself, doesn't matter, you know, with me, or just choose to consciously create and design that life,
mm-hmm.
that you want, and not just on your work side and forget all about your personal side, or be really strong there and then kind of villainize the money and the,
yeah.
career, because that's just kind of something scary out there.
Yeah.
You get to have it all.
That's amazing. I think that's an absolutely great insight to end off on the show today, about talking about, you know, that's the challenge, or that's what you should think about over the next couple of weeks and months, that you can have both sides and understand that you can have that. If you need to understand more about that, obviously, Yella is the person to come to and just talk that through. Before we end off, as it was always, please tell our listeners or our viewers at the moment, where can they get hold of you? Where can they contact you? Best platforms to send you through messages or anything like that?
So I think the best way to reach me is either through my Instagram, which is @c.e.ohm, @ceom, DM me, or go to my website, where you can actually book a free 30-minute exploration call where we can just chat and get to know each other. The website is www.the-ceohm.com.
Sounds awesome. And then once again, thank you so much for going on the show today. It's an amazing opportunity to have a discussion and talk about amazing things, what you're trying to achieve about the Go Big and Go Home transition, and helping people between the two different, to get the equilibrium between both sides, or across that space. And thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me. It's so much fun.
It's awesome. And to everyone else that's listening and watching at the moment, thank you so much again for coming on to the Wolf of Queen Street. If you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you put a comment and a like and a subscribe as well. And for anyone that's on the audio podcast, thank you so much for coming across the podcast today. Thank you, and bye.